B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, January 11th, 2019, your daily source for esports and video game discussion. Want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Joe's got a list of the weirdest new inventions from CES 2019, but he's also mixed in some fakes. It's going to be on us to try to spot the fake. Plus, over the next couple of episodes, we're going to feature interviews from our first national show of 2019, Checkpoint XP's educational special. Today, we sit down with Brandy Moy, the head of the Association of Gamers, also known as TAG, over at the University of California, Irvine. Those discussions are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about an important story out of the world of mental health. Recently, the ESA confirmed that they opened a dialogue with the World Health Organization. Last year, the World Health Organization labeled gaming addiction as a mental disorder, and the ESA is looking to make sure that gamers' voices are heard. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
Settle down, old man.
Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
And joining us for this discussion is Sarah Skopic. And Sarah, it should be mentioned that your day job is in the world of mental health.
Yes,
so
that's right.
I thought your perspective was really important to get on this story. And you know, it was, we got this press release recently from the ESA talking about this dialogue that went that happened in early December.
Yeah, the meeting took place December 3rd.
Right. And it seems really important to get out there that this meeting has occurred and the dialogue is occurring between these two entities, because I do think that ever since this happened, gamers have been a little bit on the defensive when it comes to specifically issues of mental health.
Yeah, so this took place. We actually got tipped in on this by the ESA, which is the Electronics Software Association.
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so they are the ones who run E3, which most people would probably know them better.
They're
as that.
They're probably the largest video game industry organization.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
So we got a bunch of quotes from them, and as we go through this, I'm just going to read one every now and then. The first one that I wanted to hit on was, it says, quote, "The meeting's purpose was to discuss the World Health Organization's activities with respect to video games, provide information on the video game industry, and exchange views on the role that video games and related industries may play in contributing to public health objectives."
Well, that seems fairly obvious. Like, that seems pretty straightforward, right?
I would think so, yeah. And basically, we all know, you know, last year, officially, the World Health Organization began to recognize video game addiction as a diagnosable symptom. And we
kind
here at Checkpoint...
Kind of out of nowhere as well.
It definitely felt like it. And we here at Checkpoint were understandably concerned.
Well, skeptical, I would say.
Skeptical is a better word.
Yeah, I think that there's a natural amount of skepticism that comes along with that, considering that, you know, this is a medium that we, you know, both report on and are very enthusiastic about. So it's sort of like, you know, those... It sounds like that old kind of tired dog whistling of like, oh, well, too much TV will rot your kids' brains sort of thing, except a little bit more insidious, because this is an actual diagnosed mental disorder. And in the wake of this classification, we've seen a ton of organizations designed to treat this disorder spring up. To what end, I'm not even sure, but they're designed to try to treat gaming disorder or gaming addiction.
Look, I can probably tell you to what end.
Money.
Moolah. Cash.
That bread.
Payola.
Yeah, one of my worries, you know, when this first came out was that, yes, obviously in cases like that, it could be used to get tons of money out of people as like a scare tactic. But also, looking at how video games usually pop up in popular media, something like this could also be used to weaponize agendas against gaming.
Yeah. So another quote that they had said, quote, "Meeting with the World Health Organization enabled us to engage in conversations about the positive impact video games have on more than 2.6 billion players worldwide. side. We believe that continued conversation and education is needed before any classification is finalized. And in fact, leading mental health experts have cautioned repeatedly that classifying gaming disorder creates a risk of misdiagnosis for patients who most need help.
And that was my biggest issue moving forward is that, you know, if you have somebody who plays video games for 8 hours a day, that's a very subjective amount of time in terms of what is too much and what's not enough. If you have someone who plays for 8 hours a day, to some parents, you know, especially dealing with youth, to some parents, that may seem like way, way, way too much.
Absolutely.
You know, and for others, that may seem like, oh, at least they're in the house and they're cool and they're safe.
Well, not just that, but I mean, like, if someone is trying to develop a skill or a talent to try to then take and use in their career or lives later,
you got to put a lot of hours.
Exactly.
Into.
That's something that you've got to be able to dedicate yourself towards. Sarah, I'm very curious about your perspective on this because, I want to talk about the idea of misdiagnosis. Because it does seem like video game disorder is a very convenient tool for parents or anyone who is a guardian of a young person to be able to use to try to get them in line for their own agenda.
Yeah, that's one of my other concerns because when you look at anyone who is who's playing a video game for very, very long hours to the point that maybe they are not sleeping, to the point that maybe they are missing food and stuff like that, or, you know, not doing well in school, what you really want to look at is why are they doing that?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's much easier to blame video games than it is to blame that depression is going on, that there's some sort of social anxiety going on.
You know, I mean, I play video games late into the night. That's not anything strange, but that's not because video games are keeping me up. It's I can't sleep, so therefore I play video games to try to relax and to try to be able to inspire myself to go to sleep. And, it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
But I think Sarah makes a very good point in that it's way easier as a parent to say, oh, my kid's stuck playing the stupid video games, he's addicted to the video games, rather than my kid's dealing with depression and maybe that's something I need to deal with.
Yeah, that's
still a big problem. And on top of that, video games are for some people a coping mechanism, and just like any coping mechanism, there are good and there are bad ones, and some that are good can become bad.
That's true.
So when you try to take something like that and make it demonized only, you really run the risk of, as why ESA is worried, the World Health Organization is making it seem like video games therefore, you know, could be bad for everyone.
Right. It becomes a very convenient scapegoat.
Yeah. I don't think they're trying to do that. I don't think the World Health Organization is trying to do that, but that definitely is what's going to come out into pop psych culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM, as well as 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. We're currently talking about the conversation that the Electronic Software Association is having with the World Health Organization on the idea of a classification of video game disorder. And it's nice to see actually the ESA coming out and pushing back against this. I mean, it's not surprising that they would, considering that they have a vested financial interest in it. But at the same time, though, there is no gamer organization or gamer advocacy organization to be able to go to the World Health Organization and say, look at all of the good things that come out of gaming.
Well, I mean,
there's no shortage of good things that you can point to, whether it's charitable organizations like Extra Life or Child's Play, or whether it's just the amount of good that connecting with other human beings that video games can do naturally.
That was going to be my point, is that you don't even necessarily have to proselytize any sort of massive charity effort to really exalt the positives. I think part of what is dangerous about gaming addiction, quote unquote, what this could be, is the fact that you could have someone who is dealing with, you know, anxiety, depression, different social anxieties, and use video games as a way to be social, as Sarah would say, as a coping mechanism. And I think that that's really important, because if that's how somebody is being able to get through a hard time or creating a worldview for themselves. Take Fortnite, for instance. It's a massively cultural thing, but it's also a massively social thing. Playing Fortnite is as much of being cool in doing what your peers are doing
yeah.
as much as it is people actually playing
and
the game.
And the great part, because video games are so social and because they contain technology that facilitate us connecting with other people, you know, there are individuals out there that are able to find and pursue their creative passions through video games. Think of the countless, folks that have made machinima that have gone on to very serious careers inside film. I mean, I myself started broadcasting to, my guild mates. I would hook up the turntables and have them listen to songs that I liked. You know, that was like the very beginning of sort of where my career is now.
But think of how many people have it in their mind, you know, the stereotypical MMO shut-in. Whereas for me, MMOs was the beginning of me becoming a social creature and having to relate and interact with other people and understand when I've maybe crossed a line or said something I shouldn't say. That was the beginning of learning socialization for me, really, was when I got in playing more MMOs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So last thing real quick is a final quote from this. It says, "It's our hope that through continued dialogue, we can help the World Health Organization avoid rushed action and mistakes that could take years to correct. The billions of video game players around the world who could be affected by a classification error deserve action based on meticulous research."
And you know what? I want to echo that sentiment, and I think that the ESA is doing a very good job opening this dialogue with the WHO on behalf of gamers all around the world. But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you feel like the World Health Organization may have jumped the gun on this one? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll sit down with Brandy Moy. She's the co-president of TAG, which stands for the Association of Gamers at UCI. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, CES held their annual expo this week, and with it, we got some of the weirdest inventions of the year. So Joe's made up some of his own inventions, and it'll be on us to try to spot the fake. Stick around, that's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For great listening options, like If You Give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling and all things nerd in between, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. CES 2019 was held this week, and as always, there were a lot of great new innovations being shown off. But there were also a lot of weird ones. Joe's found a list of some of the weirdest inventions at CES 2019, but he's also come up with some really interesting fakes, and it's going to be on us to try to spot the fake.
Yep. I got this.
So I'm going to give you guys two at a time.
And you're gonna tell I love me that he has the giant.
Oh, yeah. I got the giant card index and everything. Cards. I'm ready. I'm going to give you guys two at a time. You're going to have to tell me which one's the fake, and these things are going to be things
that
are of a similar
theme. Do you know the Dewey Decimal System?
I do not know the Dewey Decimal System.
You know, in another lifetime, you would be like the best game show host.
Absolutely. All right. So, guys.
Wait. Do you have a game show host voice?
Please do it. Please.
Do you have one that
please.
You
like Rod Roddy or something like
come
that?
Come on.
Just pick one.
You have one?
Just pick
right.
one.
Try to do one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be up to you to spot the fake.
That's not bad.
All right.
That's not bad. I'm going to give that one to him.
All right. Up first, we have a solar cooker that uses sunlight to heat an oven. Or...
okay.
A prototype glass ceiling that heats your house with sunlight even in winter. One of these is real.
Nah, those could both be real, man.
Okay, wait. A prototype glass ceiling
that heats your house with sunlight even in the wintertime.
That's just a sunroof.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's just the sunlight. Just you just put plexiglass.
But they're saying like it has panels.
So like transparent solar panels?
Yes.
and it would radiate heat down.
Oh, man.
One of these is real.
Oh, guys, yeah. I'm going to
one of these was
you.
An invention at CES.
Can you turn it off in the summer? I would hope that you would be able to radiate heat in the summer. Wait a minute. Solar, no, we don't want that.
The solar cooker. I'm going to go out on a limb. The solar cooker is real.
Okay, Nate?
I'm going to say the solar cooker is real just because I think the other one is just already a sunroof.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You guys are correct. The GoSun solar cooker can heat an oven to 550 degrees on solar light alone.
Nice.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're really looking for a way to reduce your carbon footprint, that's an excellent way.
Your oven takes a lot of energy.
That's true. You know? And especially if you have it in a place like, there's a lot of people who have redone their kitchens to receive a lot of natural light. Perfect for that.
Yep. All right. Not that Hank Hill would be into it, but I think a solar grill would probably in
that'd
summertime.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny you mentioned that because we're going to get to one of those.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
All right. Up next, a smart blanket and mattress topper that use a phone app to massage you to sleep, or a piece of headgear that trains your brain into sleeping healthier through brain waves.
Honestly, I think I might have heard something about that first one.
I feel like I've heard something about
first
both
real.
Of them.
The app. I'm going to go with the app as the real one.
You guys are all wrong. The Ergonite is a headgear that you can put on that manipulates your brain waves to train you into sleeping healthier.
Wait. So the blanket thing wasn't real?
That was not an invention at CES 2019 this year.
It's only I made that inventions up. From this year CES.
And these are other things that are not real inventions. I made these up at the office today.
Oh, okay. So this is you're not even pulling from past years to try to slide a quick one by us. You're just making these all up.
Correct.
I love it. I love it. But that's impressive, though. I actually would believe that the massager is real because that seems like a real product. The other one doesn't seem like it would actually do anything.
All right. On the theme of partying, a smart grill that turns your meat for you and can even skewer shish kebabs.
Oh, automatically?
Yes. Or a speaker that doubles as a table with drink holders on it.
Speaker that doubles as
a table.
Like a big Bluetooth
speaker.
See,
I feel like I've seen pictures of the grill before.
I feel like the speaker would be really impractical, though, because it would just vibrate your plates off the table.
I'm going to go with the grill. I'm going to say the grill is real.
Ditto.
So, does it have meat targeting on it to be able to skewer, like, is it, like,
well, we'll never know because it's not real.
Oh, come on. The prime table? Targeting system? Are you kidding me?
The Sony GTK PG10 is a table with little, like, drink holders built into the top of it, and it's a speaker.
To be fair,
is it waterproof?
The Sony what?
The Sony GTK PG10.
To be fair, I think that the first product that you described was a thing that Hank Hill had built on King of the Hill.
All right. It's a thing.
It is. All right, moving on. A device that lets you see your pet, talk to them, and dispense treats from outside the house, or a collar, kind of a doggy Fitbit that tracks your dog's steps and monitors how healthy it is.
Wow. Okay.
How are both these not already a thing?
Those both sound like very real things. I feel like I've almost bought the first one. I swear to God, I have seen an actual ad for the first one. The camera where you can talk to your pet and you can also push a button on the app and it'll dispense a little treat.
I also feel like I've seen the Fitbit.
I'm going to say the doggy Fitbit is real. I just think that's cool.
All right, so Nate, you're going to get this one right. It is the Pet Cube, but this is the Pet Cube Bites 2, meaning there was one at some point you may have seen it.
I think I had looked into possibly buying this. And here's the thing.
How does the doggy Fitbit?
Yeah, here's the thing, Joe. You may have made that up.
But it may exist.
But did you do any research to find out if these things actually exist?
I'm not saying they don't exist, but they weren't at CES 2019 this year.
Okay, wow.
That's
fair.
Why I went with the doggy Fitbit, because that sounds like we made this year.
Oh, absolutely. The doggy Fitbit actually sounds like something like that would be very real.
I'm calling it now. The next time that we come into the studio, he's going to have bought that pet treat thing for
Fritz. I believe that.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on KNBR 1050 in San Francisco and the Big 920 in Milwaukee. We're currently playing a game called Spot the Fake. We're going through a list of some of the weirdest inventions shown off at CES 2019. Joe has made up some completely fake products off the top of his head, and we're trying to figure out which is which.
All right, up next we have a diaper sensor that sends your phone a message when it's time for a change.
Oh, no.
Or a kitchen appliance that automatically prepares a bottle for your baby at the times you set.
That one. That's real.
That's the real one.
Actually, it's the first one, because I actually read about this thought it was the grossest thing in the world.
What? Nate is
That
correct.
Is a very real thing, and it will even give you, it will break down to the weight.
Yes, it will.
It's really gross. Really gross.
Yep.
Not just an alert that, hey, it's time to change. But no, you can actually track the bowel movements of your child.
Mm-hmm.
That's really weird.
On kind of a similar note.
Oh, no.
Here we go. A self-cleaning litter box that texts you when your cat has used it. Or a vending machine that bakes and vends loaves of bread.
Oh, that second one's real.
I quit.
That second was real.
No, I quit.
It's the first one, unfortunately, because I read about that one, too.
Well, here's the thing. This time, they were both real.
Oh, no!
I had to get them both in somewhere.
I knew the bread one was real because I saw a video of that.
I saw the bread bot. That's what it's called, the bread bot. The
bread vending machine.
It can make 10 loaves of bread in an hour.
The problem is that those bread loaves taste like yoga mats.
I would agree with that. And Nate, that cat litter box, first of all.
Why? No one needs to know.
But knowing what Fritz can do,
you already know as soon as he goes.
You don't need the text message.
He has the bowel movements of a grown adult human male.
You know, that is very true. Listen, we want to hear from you. Were you able to guess which items were real or not? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll check out our conversation with Brandy Moy of the Association of Gamers at UCI as we continue to share interviews featured on our first national show of 2019, Checkpoint XP's Educational Special. Stick around. Our interview with Brandy Moy is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 101 Sports in St. Louis and WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. Coming up over the next couple of episodes of Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check out interviews featured on our first national show of 2019, Checkpoint XP's Educational Special. So let's take a listen to our conversation with Brandy Moy, co-president of the Association of Gamers at UCI.
So tell us about, you know, TAG in general. What, as an organization, what is it? What's your goal?
So TAG is basically an umbrella organization that oversees 5 different divisions for different games, and that includes CSGO, Blizzard, League of Legends, Smash Melee, and Smash Ultimate. Essentially, we try to work to bring all these different game interests together into one big family, so people can find a community that they belong into, regardless of if they connect with one specific game or several of them.
Now, and TAG stands for the Association of Gamers. And what I would like to know personally to you, what does TAG mean?
TAG is definitely like a big family and community for me. My history with TAG, I joined as a freshman, as just someone who was like interested in video games. And when you're a freshman or maybe even a transfer student just starting out in college, it's really tough, right?
Oh, yes.
Because you're kind of like abandoning your friend group from high school or wherever you were before. So it was kind of like what I saw as an opportunity to meet people that I could, you know, create my friend group and like make a family here and feel like I belonged at UCI. So TAG to me is a big family.
Mm-hmm. So how'd you come to become co-president then of TAG?
So I started my involvement very early. Like I said, I started in my freshman year, and I began doing graphic design for the club. As I transitioned further as the years went on, I'm currently a third year. My second year I spent doing vice president duties for our Blizzard division, basically overseeing club events, like meetups, social events, that kind of thing. And I guess my dedication translated into like a passion, and that was realized by the board from last year, and I was eventually elected as well with my co-president into the position.
So for esports in particular, what is it about esports and really video games that kind of inspires that feeling of community?
it's kind of, I wouldn't say that it's anything or different from any other kind of interest, whether it be like TV shows or regular like traditional sports, that kind of thing. Anytime that you are able to connect with another person on something that you're passionate about, it sparks that kind of conversation. It makes it very easy to socialize with people and come together on like those same passions, right?
Yeah, I mean, like one of the things that we see as we look around here, of course, you have your competitive players here, but it's actually a lot of people who are just kind of here hanging out and playing casually and just having a good time. I think that's really cool that there's a space on campus that kind of, or an activity on campus that you can be as serious about it as you want to be. Like, how do you foster that kind of environment?
It's just all about like making sure that everyone feels included. I think the really cool thing about video games is that you can talk about it to literally anyone, whether or not they're involved with it. So if I was interested in Overwatch, you were interested in League of Legends, I could just go off and off and off about how great Overwatch is and maybe get you interested as well to play with me. So everyone is very open to trying new things in the video game community, and I think that's really special. People aren't going to shut you down because you like a specific game if it's something like completely new to them. I'm not saying like in general.
Right, we have our favorites, of course.
Yeah. Of course. But generally, people are very open here, and I think that's what's really important, is that every individual here loves games, whether it's multiplayer, single player, whatever, and they're willing to give it a try.
So as one of the co-presidents of TAG, what are some of your responsibilities? I mean, I know that within TAG you have, as you said, tons of different departments based on the different games. So how do you interact or interface with them?
Right. It's actually a very complicated process because unlike other club organizations, we have a specific board for every single game.
Oh, so, an entire board.
Yes. So Melee has a board, Blizzard has a board, etc. So me and Shannon, we will work together, communicate with the division heads for each of these boards, and try to understand what vision they have for moving forward this year with their club, and giving them the resources that they need. Essentially, Shannon and I work as like a head point of contact for the organization, and then we will trickle down those opportunities and like other resources that we will receive to them so they can get like support for that.
Okay, mm-hmm. So this next question, it's going to seem like I'm really salty, but I'm actually not. Just curious why Smash gets two different divisions, but Overwatch has to share with all the other Blizzard games.
It's very interesting. I would say that I think in the beginning when Blizzard was formed, maybe the only strong games that were out at the time were like Hearthstone.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was kind of a fallout for StarCraft here. Heroes of the Storm maybe as well. Until Overwatch came out, there wasn't that huge interest.
I see.
For Melee and for Smash Ultimate, which was formerly Smash 4, they have probably the biggest communities on campus.
Yeah, I guess it is.
I would say
me.
So. Yeah, they're very, very vocal and passionate. And if you're not interested in Smash 4, but you are in Melee, you're not usually going to be like branching out and trying those games as well. You usually kind of stick to one and like keep practicing it. I mean, it's a really hard game. You're not going to try to spread your time building up skills for both. So that's essentially the reasoning for it.
You're probably just renaming it to the Overwatch division.
No. There's still a lot of Hearthstone players for sure.
Oh, those
I think they wouldn't
players.
Be happy about it.
Well, that makes me sad as a huge StarCraft fan. I wouldn't like it to be that. But
all three of them that are out there playing?
Yeah, there's still a couple, I guess. So for the future, like right now we look around and we see something that far surpasses any opportunity that we had when we were in college, and
which wasn't that long ago.
I make it sound like it was an eternity ago. It was, you know,
ten years ago.
And where can it grow from here? Like it's almost hard to imagine it being better than this, but obviously you must have aspirations for where it can go from here. What do you see as the future?
I think as like the years go on, there are more and more companies that are going to be noticing how strong communities are in the collegiate scene. Our community is very, very passionate about attending events and going out, and I think that's being seen as valuable by those companies. So the more that they invest into us, the bigger and bigger our community events can be. We do have a big LAN event every year called Zawcade, where we bring not only TAG game divisions together, but also the other gaming clubs on campus like OSU, Fighting Gamers, etc. Mm-hmm. All together, and as these years go on and as we get more investment and as these companies see value in us, we can make those bigger and bigger and bigger, and then hopefully reach out to more people who feel like they need somewhere to belong.
Another question that I have, you know, obviously between the UCI Esports Arena, between TAG, all the different divisions you have, the apparatus that you've created here, not just for students or for gaming, but just this community in general is amazing. And as Joe said, back in our day, this type of stuff didn't exist. And even right now, there are schools out there where, you know, kids are or students are struggling to form these type of clubs. Is there any advice that you would give them to start on a path to creating something as special as what TAG is?
I think for sure the best bit of advice I could give is to reach out to any faculty that they might think would have an interest in this sort of thing. I think the reason why UCI excels so much in the video game industry, or specifically especially our esports program, is because we have the support of the school. I would say for them to band together as closely as they can, try to find all the resources that they can use to their advantage to growing their community, and just make sure that their board is made up of the most passionate people that they can find, because that passion is going to translate into hard work, and that hard work will translate into the blossoming of a really great community.
That's very well put.
Brandy Moy, the co-president of the Association of Gamers here on the campus of UC Irvine. Brandy, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Brandy for her time. To find out more about the esports program at UCI, visit esports.uci.edu. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.